We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, Buff Nation, voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson here. It's time for the Buffs Insider on a Thursday afternoon. Joined by my partner in crime, Neil Welk, the contributing editor of CUBuffs.com. Colorado football coming off a 30-0 loss to Minnesota last week. Now getting set for the opener of Pac-12 conference play. We'll be in Tempe, Arizona on Saturday night, late one, as the Buffs will kick off against the Sun Devils at 8:30. Gary Barnett, Bobby Pasavento, and I will hit the air at 6:30 with the Buffalo Stampede pregame show. And I've said pretty much all I can say this week about that 30-0 loss to Minnesota. So Neil's going to take the next 5 minutes and give us his thoughts on that ball game. So Neil, take it away.
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is 8:30 start. You know, an old man like me, that's darn near my bedtime.
Oh man, so, you better be getting yourself a nap on Saturday. I can tell you that.
I am going to get a nap. I'm going to get a big pot of coffee and hopefully make it to the end of the game. Mark, looking back at last Saturday's game, it was one of those things that nothing Colorado could do was the right thing.
Right.
I mean, I thought the defense played relatively well. They hung in there. They kept it within striking range until, 23 seconds left in the third quarter.
Yep.
Minnesota gets their third touchdown, makes it 20-0, and that's when you said, okay, you know, the hill's too big to climb. I thought the defense at least kept them in the game. Offensively, it was, and I'll use Carl Durrell's words, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
It was a beatdown. What I'm hoping is that it was one of those things they can bounce back from, and yes, I am Mr. Sunshine. But I do remember, and I'm not sure if you were in Colorado. I don't think you were already. In 2002, Colorado got beat by USC 40-3. They had fewer offense. They finished with 61 offensive yards.
Wow.
The quarterback completed two passes and threw one interception. They ran 34 times for 35 yards in the game. 34 carries for 37 yards in the game. And did not score a touchdown, got a field goal late to make it 40-3. Just got dominated in every fashion. It was that was the number 18 Colorado team. They were ranked 18th in the nation going into that game.
Hold on, I'm taking down notes on this so I can give Gary Barnett a hard time on the booth on Saturday. So keep going.
Well, and I'll admit that there was a Boulder camera columnist who wondered, well, can this team win another game? They got beat. They got dominated in every degree. And the entire next week, Gary Barnett would look at me. When I went to a press conference or after practice, he'd say, we're going to bounce back. And I kind of would roll my eyes like, yeah, I've heard this before, Coach. And the next week, they went to number 20 UCLA and just thumped them. Huh. Just thumped them. And Gary Barnett ran the football until you know what happened.
Well, it certainly could happen. It's so hard, and you've gone through that with this program, as you're talking about back in 2002. It's so hard to look at what happened on Saturday. Number one, to come up with the obvious answers on it, because, listen, I didn't see that coming last week. And it's so hard to imagine, as broken as it looked, that it's going to get fixed in one week. But it is possible, I guess.
And the thing that I've had, Coach, is sometimes things just snowball on you and you just have a bad game. It goes south. It happens more often in basketball, I think, but I've seen it happen in football. And I'm not saying these guys are going to turn around and go down and beat the dog out of a good Arizona State team. But, Mark, I think this team, A, has leadership that is not going to let that happen again. And, B, I think they're a little more talented than they showed last week. I think there's a little more pride in this team. For whatever reason, I have a good feeling that this team is going to go down and play well Saturday night in the desert. And I don't know why, but I keep going back to that SC game in 2002. And you can ask Gary about that game, because they had to come back. Their season was on the line a week later against UCLA. And they came back and won 9 or 10 games that year, went to a bowl game, played very well, played in the Big 12 championship game again. So, yeah, I think this team has a chance to go down there and rebound and give a good account of itself.
You know, Carl Durrell has talked this week about, you know, when you look at the offensive side of the ball, there were a number of issues. It's not just at quarterback, but obviously that's where the lion's share of the attention is going to be. And I'm just wondering, and you and I can speculate here, I guess, aloud, how much do we see Drew Carter this week? I'll be shocked if number 9's not in the ballgame at some point in time on Saturday.
Yeah, I think they want to, you know, get him some time, and I think that became, you know, it became critical last week when all of a sudden you realize if your starting quarterback isn't playing well, you want your backup guy ready to go. Well, how do you get your backup guy ready to go? You got to get him in there and get him some time. And I would be surprised if we don't see Drew Carter sooner than the fourth quarter, no matter what happens in this game. Just maybe to change it up, maybe to give Arizona State a different look, maybe to run some different plays that they feel more comfortable with Drew rather than Brendan. I mean, Brendan has some strengths that obviously they want to take advantage of. So I would be surprised, like you, Mark, if we don't see a little bit more Drew Carter, just because the depth there is pretty slim.
Well, what you wonder about with a guy like Brendan Lewis, and you and I have both spent plenty of time talking with him, we think he's an outstanding young man, he got all kinds of potential. When you get yourself into this position, you wonder how tough it is to turn the tide where he's at right now between the ears. And sometimes, and you and I have both seen it over the course of all the decades we've been covering athletics, sometimes it's good for a young man to kind of step back, be able to catch his breath, see things from a different perspective, and then be able to kind of get back in there. And so, you know, you just kind of feel for the kid right now, don't you?
Oh, yeah, especially a freshman. I mean, all of a sudden, last week, everything started to collapse on him, or maybe even the second half of the A&M game to a degree. And you've got to wonder, I think he's a confident kid. I think he's a talented kid. I still think Brendan Lewis has a big ceiling. I really do. But I do think they've got to find, if they're going to ride Brendan Lewis, they've got to find a way to make him successful. They have to figure out a way that offense gives him the most opportunity to be successful. I'm not an offensive coordinator. I'm not going to sit here and say they should run this play, that play, or the other play. But there has to be something that you can give, that you can put on Brendan Lewis's plate that gives him confidence and helps him be successful early. Otherwise, you know, you could see what you saw against Minnesota.
Yeah. And listen, neither you nor I are defensive coordinators. We certainly don't play one on television. But I think both of us could come up with the defensive game plan against Colorado right now. It is make sure you keep Brendan Lewis in the pocket and do not let them run the football. And I think until whoever the quarterback is proves that they can start hitting some passes and the Buffs can move the ball through the air, they're going to face that same defensive game plan every single week, right?
Yeah, that blueprint, A&M showed that blueprint in the second half. They figured out, oh my gosh, Brendan Curtis with a 30-yard run in the first half. Brendan Lewis got loose a couple times. Let's make sure that doesn't happen again. And they did. They made him I think the blueprint right now is make Brendan Lewis beat you from the pocket.
Right.
Okay. Don't let CU run the football. Make him throw it. Make him beat you, and don't let him out of the pocket. So I think they've got to find a way. And again, not an offensive coordinator here. Didn't even stay at a Holiday Inn last night. But I do think that they have to find a way to get some short passes, something to give Brendan Lewis some confidence and loosen up a defense, because otherwise those defenses are going to be, you know, eight men in the box saying, let's go. And that's not Colorado's strength right there.
You know, the other thing about the game of football, it's not only is it the greatest team game, but it's a great complementary game as well. And I don't know if you get the same kind of message as I did. I was actually shocked by it, to be honest with you. But you know the way it works. When a winner's a bad loss, you know, the offense stinks, the defense stinks, the coaches stinks, the broadcaster stinks, the guy on the website stinks, everyone's awful, and we understand that. But there was criticism of that defense last week, and I'm sorry, Neil, I didn't see it. I saw a defense that kept Colorado in the game up to the winning moments of the third quarter in a hot day, played 41 minutes, and really, I thought, put up an enormous fight until finally the dam broke on them. I still thought that defense was very good last week, despite the numbers.
You know, yeah, they, you know, Minnesota put up numbers, but the biggest number is with, you know, a minute left in the third quarter, it was still only 13-0.
Right.
That is not an unclimbable hill. That's not something you can't overcome in another 15 minutes of football. When it got to be 20-0, it was like, okay, that's tough. That's a tough hill to climb. But like you said, 40 minutes of possession time on a hot day in that stadium, boy, you are going to wear down. There's just no other way around it. And I think that defense gave them a chance to be in the game.
Yeah.
And that's what you want your defense to do, especially in this day and age of college football when people are scoring points, you know, right and left all the time. So I still have a lot of confidence in that defense. And you know, and I'll say his name. I've become, you know, I'm right behind you in the fan club. But,
yep,
you know, I'm a huge fan of number 53.
Yeah.
As long as that guy's out there on the field, I like that defense as long as Nate Landman is out there looking around for somebody to run into.
You know, I'm not sure we talked enough about on our broadcast on Saturday, and maybe in the wake of all this as well, not having Colby Brussell out there last week, I think, was a bigger factor than maybe I gave it credit for during the ballgame.
Oh, I think, yes. No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, when you lose starting center, and you don't know you're not going to have him.
Yeah.
He practiced every day last week. That was the thing. He took virtually every snap in practice with the number one offense. And then all of a sudden, on game day, you have this situation arise where he can't play. You've got to throw a guy out there who hasn't called, you know, the signals for the offensive line, who has not played alongside Kari Cooch and Casey Roddick and Kanan Ray very often. And that was just a huge problem. Then you lose Max Ray, your starting left tackle, what was it, 11 or 12 plays in?
Yep.
You know, I think he had 11 or 12 plays. You lose him and you've got to switch your left tackle to right tackle, bring in another guy. All of a sudden, you've got a lot of offensive line issues, and that was that certainly, as I went back and watched that game again, you could tell the continuity was not there up front.
Yep, Austin Johnson or Carson Lee may be a very good center down the road, but they don't have the experience that Colby Purcell has, being a 3+ year starter for the Buffaloes. That certainly was an enormous issue. I think this weekend, and you talk about, you know, bouncing back and going on the road, though, against Arizona State, the deeper I get into them, and I normally start my prep for the broadcast on Tuesday night and then some on Wednesday. Thursdays are very heavy, and Friday, obviously, is a very heavy day. I tell you this, Neil, this is a good football team they're going to face. Now, they've got their own little demons they got to deal with. Like they got a penalty issue probably as bad as anybody in America right now, but that's a pretty good football team they're going to face on Saturday night.
It's got a lot of good athletes, Mark. They just got a lot of good athletes everywhere. Herm Edwards is recruited well. They've loaded that team up on both sides of the ball. I mean, there was a reason they were ranked in the top 25 before the season started, hung in there a couple of weeks, dropped out because of the loss to BYU. But BYU is a pretty good team.
Yeah.
This team has a lot of talent in a lot of places. The one thing that Arizona State, you mentioned the penalties. I hate to say undisciplined, but that's what penalties are. It wasn't just a one-game thing. They've had that problem for a while. They had four turnovers.
Yep.
So they will make mistakes, but boy, you're going to have to go out there and beat them. This is a team with good quarterback, good running backs, good offensive line, good linebackers, good back end defense, just pretty good all the way around.
Jaden Daniels is an interesting guy. He's like a licorice whip, for goodness sakes. He's very thin, 6'3", 185 pounds, which, by the way, is what I weighed when I played college basketball, 185 pounds and 6'5". What do you think about that, huh?
I won't say how long it's been since you've seen 185. But.
Yeah, well, it's been quite a while now that I think about it, yeah. I'm not sure you've ever seen 185, have you?
No.
Except we're on the opposite sides of 185 is the problem with all that. but Jaden Daniels, I tell you what, when they talk about the great quarterbacks around the country, his name's not going to come up. But that guy is solid. I mean, he's throwing for enormous numbers. He runs the ball exceptionally well. That's a dangerous guy running that offense for Herm Edwards.
He does a lot of things well, Mark. And he's a guy that, you know, if you try and keep him in the pocket, he can throw the ball downfield. He's got good arm. He's accurate. He makes good decisions. He can beat you from the pocket. If you let him outside the pocket, he can definitely, you know, run the ball down the field and get first downs for you. He has good control of that offense, and he's got two good running backs behind him. And so, yeah, he's a veteran guy that knows, you know, how to manage an offense, how to manage a game, how to manage situations, and how to make plays that can beat you. He's just one of those guys that does a lot of things well. Nothing maybe great, but a lot of things well.
Here's the best news that I've seen all week long, because last Saturday when we were talking about this game, our producer Reed Fisher just looked up what the temp was supposed to be, and they were saying like 105 in Tempe on Saturday. I just looked it up earlier today. It's only supposed to be 92. Do you remember the game? I'm trying to remember. Were you still at the Daily Camera? Was it 07 or 08 when the Buffs went down there for a non-conference game with Dan Hawkins?
07, yeah. Oh, yeah, 07. I think that still might be the hottest kickoff the hottest temperature at kickoff in CU history.
Well, that day was
102.
Oh, you remember this. The day was like 112 or something. It was insanely hot, and I got asked to go out and play in some alumni golf outing during the day and nearly died doing that. And then we get there, and you're right, it was like 102 or 104 or something by the time we kicked it off at 8:30 at night. It was brutal that day. So they're not going to have to deal with anything remotely like that. I think it's supposed to be like 88 at kickoff on Saturday night.
Yeah, and that's a big difference, and that'll help. Colorado's, I mean, they've been practicing in the heat, and, you know, in the 80s, I think they'll be okay. That's what it was last weekend at Folsom.
Exactly.
When you look at what it was down on that turf and in the sun, at least the sun won't be beaten down. It'll be after sunset. So, you know, that shouldn't be a factor. Colorado should be okay in that regard. The one thing that we can't see if we're thinking Colorado has a chance, we can't see 40 minutes of possession time for the ASU offense.
No. You know, I'll say this, if the Buffs go down there and are even remotely close offensively to what they were a week ago, there's going to be a forced hand with the Drew Carter thing. Just out of curiosity, the limited time we saw him out there, and by the way, he was going to come out. He had his helmet on. Brendan Lewis had his helmet off when Dimitri Stanley muffed that punt, and the defense had to go back out there after getting a three and out. So we would have seen a little bit more of Drew Carter last week. In the little bit that we did, what did you see from number 9?
You know, what I saw, I saw a guy that looked comfortable in the pocket. Nice arm. I thought he made some nice throws. Thought he made some good decisions. It looks like he can see his receivers in a hurry. And I think that's probably one of the big criticisms that people are having, and legitimately, of Brendan Lewis, is he's having a tough time getting the ball out of his hand. And I think he's overthinking. He doesn't want to throw an interception. I'm not sure what's going through his head. But it appeared to me that Drew Carter didn't have that split second of hesitation, and a split second on on a football field is a long time. So I liked what I saw of Drew. You know, if we see some more of him, you know, maybe we'll see some more good things.
Yep, I think so. Well, should be an interesting ball game. What do you got coming up tomorrow at CUBuffs.com?
We'll be doing our Fast Five, and hopefully it'll be better predictor than last week's Fast Five. I honestly went into that game, Mark, thinking, you know, Colorado's got a really good chance of winning this game.
Yeah.
I really felt good about that game, and about halfway through, I think, you know, I hope I don't have that feeling again.
No, I'm with you. I didn't see last week coming at all. It really kind of came out of left field for me. Well, check out Neil Welk's Fast Five tomorrow at CUBus.com. And, of course, after the ball game on Saturday, all of his postgame coverage as the Buffaloes will take on the Sun Devils of ASU on Saturday night down at Tempe in Sun Devil Stadium. Coach Barnett, Bobby Pasavino, and I will hit the air at 6:30 Mountain Time with the Buffalo Stampede pregame show. You can catch it in Denver on 6:30 KHOW. After the Rockies game, they'll pick it up on our flagship, 850 KOA. And, of course, all the various outlets as well, SiriusXM Channel 202 and the Varsity Network app and so forth. So, former partner Neil Welk, voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us this week on the Buffs Insider.